Hello.
Hello. Good morning, family. Welcome to Declare Victory. Who's joined the call? I would like to say good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. I'm Gloria. First
good
time
morning,
here.
Gloria.
Desperate need of prayer.
Who's that?
Gloria P. Desperate need of prayer.
Gloria P. Okay. And what's your prayer request?
Endurance through trials and tribulations and persecution.
All right, we got you. Welcome to Declare Victory. Good morning.
Good morning.
This is
welcome, Gloria.
Good morning, good morning. That's Patrice.
Yes,
thanks, Patrice. You know what I needed.
Mm-hmm. And I'll mute your phone, Gloria.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Declare Victory. Who's joined the call and would like to say good morning?
Good morning.
Good morning.
This is Sabrina. Good morning, Pretty Patrice. Good morning, Declare Victory. It's Thankful Thursday. God bless everybody on the call, Declare Victory.
Yes, ma'am. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. It's Miss B.
Morning, Miss B. Morning, Pretty.
Good morning, Michelle.
Morning,
Pretty. Awesome day, right? Oh, I'm going to say beautiful, Pretty.
Good morning, it's Brother Michael. Happy Thursday.
Well, hey, good morning, Brother Michael. Happy Thursday.
It's Grateful Deborah Evans. Happy Thursday.
Good morning, Grateful Deborah Evans. Is anyone else joining the call and would like to say good morning on this thankful, triumphant, tremendous, happy Thursday? We are happy to be here to meet in this sacred place. Can you mute the phone? Whoever's in the kitchen, in the bathroom, hanging up pictures, taking them down, washing their face.
Hallelujah. Good morning. Thankful Thursday. Tremendous Thursday. This is Sister Mary. Praise God.
Good morning, Sister Mary. Happy Thursday.
Yes. I'm coming right behind Sister Mary. This is Moxie. Happy Thursday, everybody. God bless everybody. I love you guys.
Well, hey, Moxie. Happy Thursday.
Hey, Shel, that ain't me with the loud noise, but you know I have a praise report. My granddaughter was born yesterday, y'all, and we sure needed some light. So I got a new grandbaby. Hallelujah. Thank y'all for your
Hallelujah. Praise. Welcome.
Congratulations. God be praised.
Look, y'all, why she bigger than her mama already? That girl 21 inches long and her mama only 3 feet tall, so God is good.
Welcome, baby Melanie. Yeah. Is it Melanie?
Mm-hmm. Melanie, yes.
Yeah. Yes. Welcome, Melanie. Who else joined the call and would like to say good morning?
Good morning. Happy Thursday. This is Yvette.
How's that? Happy Thursday. What it do, boo?
So, have a good day.
Yeah, we're going to do it.
Yes.
Good morning. Happy Thursday.
Kevin.
God bless everyone on the call. It's Lisa. Hey.
Hey, Sister Lisa. Happy Thursday. Can we please, if y'all not down at the pool baptizing, can y'all please put your phone on mute so we can protect the integrity of the call? Let me see. It's my fault because I ain't on the board. That's all right. I got you. Who else has joined the call and would like to say good morning on this thankful, triumphant, tremendously glorious, thankful Thursday?
Good morning, it's Sister Tracy. Happy Thursday, everyone.
Okay, Tracy, happy Thursday.
Good morning,
Ruth. Hey, Ruth, that must be you in the truck cooking. That's you. I'm putting it on you.
No, I'm over here. I might be in Utah, and let me just tell you, I got mad yesterday because I said, did I miss the call? I'm calling. It's just an hour ahead here. I was calling y'all at 5 o'clock in the morning.
That's all right. You would have been the first one on the call. He would have been the first one.
Like, special ed calling an hour ahead and mad at the call. Like, what happened? It's 8 o'clock here. I mean, it's 7 o'clock here now.
Well, thank God for traveling mercy and grace. Has anyone else joined the call and would like to say good morning?
Hey, I'll be good morning. Who is that? Is someone saying good morning in a diesel truck? Good morning. Can you please send me $40 for the Boys Guys All stuff because it came out? I'm 35 overdraft. That's going to cause me to be same thing that's left.
Hello? Are you asking us to pray for your banking account? I'm sorry. Who's that? Oh, thank you. Well, we're going to pray for whoever it is. Somebody got the memo. Good morning, y'all. Welcome to Declare Victory. This is Rochelle. Who's joining the call before we get started?
Kevin, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin. Happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday.
Yeah. Enjoy your day. All right. If we can go ahead and look at our phones, check them, go ahead and put them on mute. It took us a while, but we there now. Oh. Anyone else want to say good morning before we get started? All right. Good morning. Good morning. If we can just please double check, triple check, quadruple check, make sure that your phones are on mute. Welcome to Declare Victory. I am Rochelle, your hostess. Thank you for joining us here on Declare Victory. We are a prayer call that meets Monday through Friday starting at 6 a.m. Pacific Standard, 8 a.m. Central Standard, and 9 a.m. Eastern Standard to edify, empower, encourage, and equip you in your walk with Christ. Make sure that you join us during the month of March, where our monthly theme is entitled Suddenly. Each declare will focus on the importance of expecting and how to properly respond to a suddenly move of God. Make sure you invite a friend so that they can be blessed too. There's one announcement tonight. Ladies, please join us tonight and every Thursday night for Walk It Out Women's Call, hosted by Miss Lisa Porter. We're going and studying the book, The Bait of Satan, by John Bevere. The call takes place from 6 to 7 p.m. Pacific Standard, 8 to 9 Central Standard, and 9 to 10 Eastern Standard, right here by dialing the same number tonight. Check the prayer request on the app. On the app we have... We have no prayer requests submitted by the app, but we know that that is our first place to go and drop our prayer request so that we can be specific, clear, and precise. We have spoken prayer requests today. The first one is by Gloria P. She's praying for endurance. We have a praise report by Dee Dee. We're welcoming baby Milani. She was born between last night and this morning, 21 inches long, 7 pounds, 4 ounces. Thank God to the new, for the new addition to their family and to declare victory. Amen. The order of the call, prayer and corporate praise, will be brought to you by Yolandra. The declaration will be brought to you by Tanya. Then we will go right into closing comments hosted by the declare. I'll repeat the order of the call. Prayer and corporate praise will be brought to you by Yolandra. The declaration will be brought to you by Tanya. The scripture for today, Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and doing of his holy word. I just remind you once again, if you can please check your phone as we go to the throne of grace. Have an awesome day, everyone.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord God, we bless your magnificent and perfect name. Lord God, we thank you for yet another day, a day that you have blessed us with, Lord, a day that we are grateful to have, Lord God. We're grateful for our minds, our beings, our souls, our bodies, the ability and utility of our bodies, Lord God. We're thankful for the provision and the grace that you've given us the day before, as well as our friends and loved ones, God. We know, Lord Jesus, that you reign and that you reign supreme. We know, Lord God, that your word is final, that you will have the final word. We know that you are powerful and sovereign. We know that you are great beyond measure, Lord God. God, we know that everything that comes to us is according to your good and perfect will. Lord God, so we pray that we would align ourselves, Lord Jesus, with your way and with your will. We pray, Lord God, that you will allow us to be ever mindful of you throughout the day, to give you honor, to stop and call out your name, Lord God, to recognize, Lord God, that we are your people. We are called by your name, Lord Jesus. So, Lord God, so then, when we call out your name, God, when we turn from our wicked ways, Lord God, when we do what is expected of us, what is directed of us to do, Lord God, hallelujah, that you will heal our land, Lord God. Lord God, there is so much going on in the world, Lord God. So much going on in the world, Lord God. We know that your word says that it will come to pass, Lord God, that these things must manifest in order for your will to come to pass, Lord God. Just like Jesus, Lord Jesus, he knew what the end would be. He knew what was coming his way, Lord God. But God, he did not fear, Lord God. He did not fret, Lord God. And we want to be more like Jesus, Lord God. Help us to think more of others, Lord God, and less of ourselves, Lord God. Help us to honor you with our lives, Lord God. Help us to teach and tell other people your glorious and magnificent way, Lord God. Help us to be less judgmental and less critical of others, Lord God, and more introspective of ourselves, Lord God. God, we pray that you would forgive us for our sins. Anything that we've done that is against you, Lord God, not like you, that disappointed you, Lord God, anything we fell short of, Lord Jesus, we pray, Lord God, that you would forgive us, Lord God. Thank you for every opportunity that we have to course correct, Lord God, and to change our ways and to change our minds, Lord God. Thank you for the transformation and renewing of our minds, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, because you restore our soul, Lord Jesus. God, I pray for those who have left here, Lord God. I pray for Bubbly, Lord God. Oh, God, bless her soul. Rest her soul, God. Hallelujah. Bless those who mourn her, Lord God. Hallelujah. God, I pray for Dion and Demarie, Lord God, Lord Jesus, that you will be in that situation as well. Comfort and keep, Lord God. Comfort and keep, Lord God. Lord God, our
subject matter this morning or this month is about suddenly, Lord God. And God, things come to us and we are not prepared for it, Lord God. And we can look at it as a test, Lord God, or as a testimony, Lord God. So I pray, Lord God, that we will arm ourselves with everything that we need, Lord God, to be ready for the suddenlies, those unexpected things that come into our lives, Lord Jesus, that we were not expecting, Lord God, that we may be ill prepared for. But help us, Lord Jesus, help us to stand on your word. Help us to remember and call on you in the very moment, Lord God, something comes across our path, Lord God. Help us to stand, Lord God, to depend and to lean on you, God, because you are our strong tower, Lord God. You are our strong tower, God. You are everything that we need, Lord God, and we can rest in the folds of your arms, Lord God. So as we take our phones off the mute, Lord Jesus, we give you glory, we give you honor, we give you praise, we give you respect, Lord God. Hallelujah. We give you everything that you deserve, that you so richly deserve. So I bless your name, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Glory to your name, Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Lord God, we praise your name. We praise your name. We praise your name. Hallelujah. Glory, glory to God in the highest. God, we recognize, God, we love, Lord God. Lord God, we return. Lord God, Lord God, we need you, Lord God. Hallelujah. And we are forever, forever, forever grateful. Hallelujah. So as we put our phones back on mute, Lord God, we hope and pray, Lord God, that this prayer session, Lord God, has been acceptable unto you, Lord God, that you hear and heed to our prayers, Lord God. We're so grateful that you are cognizant of every one of us, Lord God. Not one of us goes unnoticed, Lord God. Not one of us are unknown to you, God. All of us are your children, God. You have called us, Lord God. You have set us apart, Lord God, and we are grateful. All these things we pray in the magnificent and matchless name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah and amen.
Somebody sleep.
Give me 1 second. Ken, are you there? Thank you, Lord. We bless your name. Hallelujah. Glory to the Most High God. We lift you up in the name of Jesus. Glory, hallelujah.
Shell, can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Oh, there you go. Can. Shell, can you hear me now?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I'm trying to, I need to be on the, can you unmute the 510 number? I'm sorry, guys, because this is, I know this line is going to break up. Do I need to give you the whole number?
No, I know it. I'm looking for it.
Okay, well, I just hung up, so I'm going to call right back. Excuse me, guys. Okay. I just don't want to get this. 1 second. 1 second, everybody. Okay, I'm calling now, Shell.
Okay, thank you.
Can you guys hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Yes,
woo!
Ma'am.
This gonna be a good call. This gonna be a good one.
You got sleeping bandits and everything. Go on, speak the word.
Listen, Harrison was a brother born and raised in Bayview Hunters Point. He was respected at work, in the community, and his church. As the executive director of his organization, he was passionate about serving marginalized youth and young adults. Harry's service to this population is no accident because he was system touched. In other words, he was previously incarcerated as a young man with all the classics of an urbanite, the eldest brother of six siblings raised in a single parent home, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. He quickly became a protector and provider, assisting his mom as a kid. Harry grew up during the government's Just Say No campaign against drugs. While he was exposed to all types of mind-altering substances, he never, ever indulged because he saw the effect it had on his community. Did I tell you that Harry had to get the gap? Listen here. Listen, Linda. He could talk his way into any room he wanted, and was just as skillful talking his way out of anything that looked like it was going to go left. On those rare occasions in which words were not going to work, he relied on his left fist, which was known to knock an offender out with one punch. And he didn't even need no brass knuckles. Harry was a cool dude. He would literally give a person to shirt off his back. For every dollar he earned, he probably gave away five. He said what he meant, and he meant what he said. He wasn't cocky. He was confident. He was a man of his word, accountable for his actions, and committed to his commitments, especially God. He lived by the principle, let your yes be yes and your no be no, for anything else comes from the evil one. That's found in Matthew 5:37. He didn't tolerate nonsense, and he feared no one. He didn't care who it was, their size, their status, how much money they made, who their mom and them was, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, he wasn't scared of nothing until he was. I mentioned earlier that Harry grew up without his father, but his uncle and a few men from the church in the neighborhood helped to shape his character. They taught him about being honorable. They taught him about having chivalry. They taught him about being honest, those types of things. Harry met his father, Sam, for the first time at the age of 20. I would love to tell you that they lived happily ever after, but that is not the case. Things went bad very quickly, not so much because of Harry, who was polite but guarded until he wasn't, but because of Sam's narcissistic and accusatory behavior. See, what had happened was Sam had the audacity to say he didn't know if Harry was his son because his mother, Samantha, was always up in some nigga's face. What? Sir, did you just really say that out of your mouth? Harry's ears got red hot instantly, and suddenly Sam caught Harry's left fist at just the right spot on his jaw, and it was lights out. There was no way Harry was going to let this ninja or anybody else disrespect his mama in inferring that she was a hoe. Nope, not today, tomorrow, or any other day. And if Sam didn't know what was up, he knows now. Fast forward. I need you to know that Harry was a believer and loved God, like the Bible says. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's found in Matthew 22:37-40. Recently, Harry's cousin reached out to him, hoping to serve as a mediator between the estranged father, Sam, and Harry. He went back and forth with yes and no, but eventually Harry agreed to meet with Sam and his cousin, though he really didn't want to. And all of a sudden, this feeling came over him out of nowhere. It was odd because he had never felt like this before. He calmed himself down with deep breathing and meditated on his favorite verse, casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Be alert and be of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. That's found in 1 Peter 5:7-9. Thankfully, Harry was able to dismiss the feeling. However, as the date got closer, the feeling became more intense. It seemed to start in his chest and work its way up to his torso until it constricted his throat. The next day, while in his office, suddenly the feeling appeared again, except this time it was more intense. He shook it, or so he thought, but it popped back up. Harry had never dealt with anything like this before. Suddenly he realized this was a spiritual attack. He closed his office door, signaling his team not to disturb him. Got on his knees. He worshiped for a while. And when he knew he was in the presence of the Father, he asked the Holy Spirit to reveal what was happening. And all of a sudden, Harry heard the Holy Ghost just as clearly as you hear me speaking now. He said, "What you are feeling is the spirit of fear." Harry was astounded, like he was shocked, not because he heard the Holy Ghost speak so clearly, but because the feeling was identified as fear. Remember, I told you Harry feared nothing and no one. Harry then asked, "Fear of what?" And the Holy Spirit said, "The fear of rejection." Harry asked, "Rejection from where? What are you talking about?" Suddenly, the memories flooded his mind. All of a sudden, he was 20 years old again, standing in front of the second store near Double Rock. He saw a man approaching him who looked like his identical twin. Suddenly, Harry's heart skipped a beat. Could that be my father after all this time? Nah, that's crazy. It can't be, he thought to himself. But this man had the same swag. I mean, you know, like the same gait, the way that he walked. He had the same body build, the same light brown eyes, height, dimples, and complexion. When Harry saw his cousin Black Tommy, he knew this man was his father. He became hopeful, but cautious. Harry felt a swarm of other emotions all at once. However, he didn't know how to process them, so he put on his poker face. Harry didn't realize it then, but once his father, Sam, denied him in front of everyone standing on the corner that day, Harry felt defeated, alone, and rejected. Though he never showed any emotion, the truth is he wasn't alone at all, because he opened the door for rejection and they left together that day. Fast forward to the present. Suddenly, Everything made sense to Harry, and he began to weep quietly. The tears were warm and steady as the Holy Spirit comforted him. But soon thereafter, the weeping crescendoed into a full-blown sob.
He cried and he sobbed and he cried and he sobbed with tears leaping out of his eyes, running down the back of his throat and escaping his nostrils. He didn't care who heard him. He let it all go.
When the sobs and the tears began to subside, Harry was completely drained and exhausted. His helper, aka the Holy Spirit, whispered, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind." 2 Timothy 2:17. The end. Or maybe we can say the beginning. But that's enough of Harry for now. He is in good hands with the Holy Spirit. If I were to give this declaration a title, I would call it Sudden Fear. But was the fear sudden? Or is it an example of Joyful Jacqueline's eloquent description of cumulative events that appear to be suddenly? Suddenly is listed as an adverb in the dictionary, and it's defined as something that happens quickly or unexpectedly. Some common synonyms of sudden are abrupt, headlong, impetuous, and precipitate. What could Harry have done to avoid the anxiety and fear that tried to overtake him suddenly? No, not that. Try again. No, that would have caused a whole ruckus. Try one more time. Not quite. You were really close, though. The answer is he should have used discernment. For some reason, I cannot shake that word. Let me define it again for those who didn't hear the February 22nd declaration in which I discuss discernment in great detail. Discernment is the ability to decide between truth and error, right and wrong, good and evil. Discernment is making careful distinctions in our thinking about truth. In other words, it's the ability to think with, discernment is synonymous with the ability to think biblically. But remember I said, if you only read or study the Bible, you will only be able to, if you only read and study the Bible a little bit, you will only be able to think biblically a little bit. But if you never read or study the Bible, you will never be able to think biblically. Therefore, you will have not have the ability to think or use discernment. Let me say it one more time because I mixed up my words. If you never read or study the Bible, you will never be able to think biblically, therefore disabling you from thinking or using discernment. The Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:21 through 22, put all things to the test. Keep what is good and avoid every kind of evil. That is how we use discernment. It's discernment 101. Again, that's 1 Thessalonians 5:21 through 22. Before we begin to unpack discernment, let's talk about fear a little bit. And I don't mean the instinctive fear that warns us of impending danger. I'm talking about the fear that prevents us from succeeding, from moving past goal, that immobilizes us, terrorizes us, just causes us to be stuck because we can't do nothing. I can't remember where I heard it, but someone said that fear is an acronym that stands for false evidence appearing real. F-E-A-R. Let me press rewind in case you missed it. Fear can be used as an acronym, which stands for false evidence appearing real. Daniel, what you really mean, though? I'm glad you asked. It means that the devil, the enemy, Satan, however you define him, entices us with a lie that he camouflages as beautiful factual truth. I mean, it's pretty, y'all. It's so pretty it don't look real, because it ain't. All right. If we are not careful, he will plant fear in our minds as a seed where we then nourish it. Let me say it differently. He makes a lie, again, so beautiful that we believe it, even when the Holy Spirit pleads with us not to. Woo, that's some cold game. Did I hear someone say how? Let me tell you, honey. It's easy. See, what happens is we decide to think about it. Then we give our imagination permission to create scenarios that are not real. Next, we add feelings to that thing, and all of a sudden, hey, yeah, yeah, we got some suddenly that we begin to regret. However, we can also get them cumulatively, according to Joyful Jacqueline, depending on how long you nurture it. That is false evidence appearing real. In other words, lies, 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 and more lies. Let me read you something else. It's found in John 8:44. It says, you belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Imagine that, if you will. The Bible says that lies are the enemy's, the devil's native language. It's like speaking English or speaking Spanish or Swahili or Japanese. That's what he speaks, lies. Every single cotton-picking tongue that he opens his mouth is a lie. Here's one thing you can count on. He lying. As soon as he says something to you, whether he whispers to you, usually it's a gentle, am I getting excited? I'm sorry, I just got a little excited. Let me calm it down. But I'm not going to calm it down. I want you to feel what I'm saying. I want you to imagine that you can hear me sitting in front of you, looking at you, eyeball to eyeball contact, saying to you, listen, when he says something to you, you can count on one thing. It is a whole entire lie. It ain't half a lie. It ain't a little bit of lie. It ain't a white lie or a black lie or a red lie or a brown lie or a purple lie. It's a whole cotton picking lie. Fact. All right, let me calm it down. The devil invented lies. His first victim was Eve. You know, it's found in Genesis 3:1-5. I'm not going to read it, but, you know, when he offered her the fruit, the Bible never said he offered her an apple. Stop saying that. He did not offer her. We don't know what fruit it was. It could be a fruit that we don't even know the name of, but it was not an apple. It says the fruit. He offered her the fruit, and she bought it, and she bit it, and there we have it. She got duped. Here's another example, another victim, Tanya. A couple of years ago, I asked God for something. I prayed for it and believed God would do it, and he did. I mean, he did that thing. You hear me? I know he did it. People that I love and respect confirmed it was what it is right now. But me and my special ed self voluntarily signed up for false evidence appearing real. Can you believe that? First of all, can you believe I'm telling on myself? Yes, I am, because I need you to know this is real. This happens to everyday people like just like me and you. Anyway, I signed up voluntarily for the false evidence appearing real, most of which is based on past relationship trauma. Thank you, Dr. Robertson. How dumb is that, though? It don't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. I'm telling you, what I was experiencing made no sense, and I was the cause of it. I can't blame it on the devil. He offered something. It was packaged differently, and I signed up. Stupid. I know better. But I became a voluntary victim of false evidence appearing where I'm shaking my head. Today, however, listen, you listening? Today, however, as you hear me share this word, I renounce and disavow the spirit of fear that has tried to discredit, destroy, and dominate me and God's promises. Let me give you some word on that. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. That's found in Romans 3:23. Why would I share this scripture? It's important to know that none of us have arrived. It is important for us to know that given the right set of circumstances, all of us are subject to error. Well, let me say what it really is. All of us are subject to sin given the right set of circumstances if we're not careful. That includes me. That includes Dion. That includes Rochelle. That includes your pastor. That includes your first lady, your apostle, if we're not careful. Because remember I said the devil is a liar. He speaks lie. That's a language. You know that? Lie is a language. L-I-E. Lie is a language. I'm telling you, the Bible told us. That's the language he speaks. And if we're not careful, if we're not guarded, we can become a victim. But we don't have to stay victims according to Romans 3:23. We can become justified. So where is the sin? Let me answer that question. The sin in my case was doubting God. I sinned. I repented. And God's undeserving favor has redeemed and saved me through his son, Jesus Christ. That means that if you sin, identify it, repent, renounce, and disavow it, you will then be covered by God's grace based upon the redemptive work that Jesus did on the cross. And you no longer have to believe the lie, the language of the enemy. You no longer have to believe the lie of condemnation. You can believe the truth, which is you are forgiven and you are made whole. You are restored. You are made righteous, not because of you, but because of Christ Jesus and what he did for us and how much he loved us. Check this out. Had Eve and I used discernment, we would not have been victimized by fear. I know that part, right? Listen, let's unpack discernment over the next few minutes, and I'm almost done. If you have your Bible, if you don't, record this scripture and read it later. I think this will be very, very helpful for you because we need to begin to use discernment. Dion talked about this a little bit yesterday. Using discernment will help us to be prepared for the things that are to come. This is not a message to scare us, as she said yesterday. This is a message instead to prepare us. Did you hear me? This is not a message to scare us. This is a message to prepare us for what is to come based upon the word of God found in Matthew and found in Revelation. See, God is not going to leave us in a position where we're unprepared. The only way we're unprepared is that if we remain ignorant of the word that he has left for us, that literally tell us about what we're experiencing right now. What you mean, Tanya? Well, we're experiencing all types of weather conditions. They're weird. We're experiencing earthquakes in diverse places, as the scripture would say. What you mean? There are earthquakes happening in places where there have not been earthquakes before. There are the the weather patterns are just weird. People are giving it a term. They're giving it a name. They're blaming it on global warming and so on and so forth. But this is the fulfillment of prophecy, and it's not over. If you have never heard of what I'm talking about, I would advise you to begin to read Revelation and don't allow the book of Revelation. Don't allow the enemy to punk you. I said punk you on a prayer call, trick you, bamboozle you, dupe you into believing that, oh, Revelations is too hard. Revelation, it's not one, it's not multiple revelations, it's one. The book of Revelation, the revelation that God gave to John, right? So don't let him, remember I told you, what does the enemy do when he opens his mouth? He speaks lie. He speaks lie, L-I-E. And we could say lies if you want to. He speaks lies. He speaks untruth. So don't fall for it, Tanya. Don't fall for it anymore. Don't volunteer for the Victims Club, right? We have power. We don't have to, according to the scripture says, God has not given us a spirit of fear. If God has not given us a spirit of fear, where did it come from? I'm going to let you answer that. No, instead, he answers the question or the statement. He said he's given us a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. So you don't have to be fickle-minded. You don't have to be up and down, in and out, back and forth, because you can stand on the word of God. You can stand on the power that he has given you. He's given us power, love, and love covers a multitude of faults. He's given us a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. So you don't have to be afraid to read anything in the Bible. Then you want to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal the truth to you so you can know how to move around in these last and evil days, as the saints, as the old mothers would say. I'm telling you, we are living in the last and evil days. When we look at things, here's another example. When the Bible talks about when right becomes wrong and wrong becomes right, we know we are living in the last and evil days. And the days are going to get eviler. That's not a word. I just made it up. It's okay. We do not have to fear, though. Our false evidence appearing real, our responsibility is to prepare ourselves. And I'm not just talking about getting, you know, bottled water, this and the other. Prepare ourselves with the word. Cleanse ourselves with the word. Okay, let me get back to discernment and the scripture. I was trying to give y'all time to get the scripture so we could read it together. I wish I could, I'm not going to do it. I wish I could ask Rochelle to take us off mute and we read it together as a collective body, but we're not going to do that at all. So I'm going to read it. You remain on mute and I want you to read with me. I'm reading from the King James Version, Hebrews 4 and 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and of marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. But all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. I want to read that again. And I want to read it with emphasis. And I'm going to add some things to it just so that I can expound on the scripture, not as an intention to change it. You follow me? All right, you have your King James Version, you have your Bible open, let's start again. For the word of God is quick. It don't take God's word a long time to accomplish his will. And it is powerful. It is more powerful than anything the enemy can try to throw out at us. And it is sharp. It is intended to cut. Cut what? Cut things out. It is not only does it cut. Am I getting loud? I'm a little excited. It's okay. It cuts me as I'm giving it, right? And it cuts you as you're receiving it. But it's not, the cut is not there. The piercing that takes place, ooh, that hurt. Man, wow, she's stepping on my toes. Man, she just cut my earlobe. Man, really? I'm so mad I want to hang the phone up, but don't. Right? It's piercing to the very soul, your mind, will, and emotions, and spirit. So both of them, they're divided. They're not one. There's the soul and there is the spirit. And it also cuts the joints, anything that connects to us, that has us connected to something that is false evidence appearing real, a lie, right? Severing those things, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Can we have a Selah moment right there? That just means I'm going to be quiet. You're going to be quiet for a few seconds, and then I'm going to come back. Selah. Think about what I just said. It is the word of God. What is the it? The word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and intents. Selah. I know we don't like silence, but it was very necessary there. Listen again. The word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Can you now see why it is imperative? It is vital. It is crucial. It is critical. It is important that we read and study the word of God. Can you see that? Don't take your phone off mute and answer me. Can you see that? Shake your head. Yes. You shake your head up and down. Yes. I see it, Tanya. I see it. You could even say it out loud. I see it. Do you see it? My God. Here's the 13th verse. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Let me break that down for you. I've already said the subject here in the 12th verse is the word of God. That is the Bible, and it is the spoken word given by his servants. However, the creatures are Satan. You could call him the devil or the enemy, or whatever, however you like to call him. The creatures are Satan and his kingdom. What? Yeah, listen to this. Satan is called the god of this world with a little g. Chill, can you find that for me right quick? I meant to get that as a scripture, that the god of this world with a little g, right? He who rules men's spirits and minds. Listen to me. It is the principalities and powers, spiritual wickedness in high places, the rulers of the darkness of this world that rule men's spirits and minds. You would find that in Ephesians 6. The sixth chapter, around about the fifth or sixth verse. Just read it. Just start reading that number one, and you'll get to that point. As believers, we have been called out of darkness into the marvelous light. Can somebody get that text for me, too? Called out of darkness into the marvelous light. I'm sorry. As believers, let me say it again. We have been called out of darkness into the marvelous light. So he frees us from the darkness unless we choose to or get tricked into returning. Do you get that? We have been called, so we are not subjected to the darkness. It's there. We can even see it, but we don't have to enter it. We don't have to associate ourselves with it. Why? Because the word of God is quick, powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword. Discerning allows us to dissect and examine evidence that may or may not be real to determine whether what we see, hear, or feel is truth or lie. Let me say it again. Discerning allows us to dissect and examine evidence that may or may not be real to determine whether what we see, hear, or feel, maybe even think, is truth or a lie. So when the enemy comes at you speaking lie, you know you ain't gonna make it. You might as well just go on and give up. You ain't read your Bible in the last week. I don't even know why you bothering. Because you ain't gonna get it. You ain't gonna understand it. And she's telling you to read Revelation. You don't even understand Matthew. How you gonna read Revelation? You should be able to discern that's not coming from God. God wants me to read his word. He just said that's how I'm empowered, right? So if I discern that that's coming from the enemy rather than coming from God, I punish that. I cast down, I throw that imagination away. I tell that imagination to go straight back to where you came from. Go to hell. You go to hell. I know somebody clutched their pearls. Listen, go back to hell where you came from. I'm serious. Go back to hell where you came from. I will not believe that. Matter of fact, I'm not even talking to you anymore. Change the subject. Pull your Bible out. Quote a Bible verse. Get rid of that thought. Cast down the imagination. That's how you cast. That's one of the ways you can cast down the imagination. Okay. I'm going to say it one more time because I need you to get it. Discerning. Did I stutter? Discerning allows us, like, it allows us to dissect and examine evidence that may or may not be real to determine whether what we see, hear, think, or feel is truth or a lie. But we got to stop for a minute. We got to pause, press pause, think. Sometimes you might have to think real quick. Sometimes you could take your minute. You could take a minute and think, but you got to take a minute. You stop. Stand still. Stand still and know that he is God and begin to weigh that thing out. Discernment shines light on things which enable us to see and hear the lie for what it is. A lie. The examination may be very quick, as I stated a little bit earlier. For example, suddenly a coworker or a customer starts yelling at you for no reason. You ain't did nothing. You said good morning, and all of a sudden they just go off. You can react in your flesh and call them up several names and all that, and attack, and ask where, or you can where is this coming from? In your head, you don't have to say it out loud. Immediately, you can say, Lord, where is this coming from? Did I do something wrong? All I said was good morning. Okay. This is an attack. I see it. I'm not gonna bite. Mm-mm, I'm not. Instead, I will respond differently. Proverbs 15:1 says, a soft and gentle and thoughtful answer turns away wrath, but harsh and painful and careless words stir up anger. Have you ever noticed when you meet fire for fire, it goes all bad? Even if you didn't intend to. So the Holy Spirit gives us self-control. Nope, there is no rule that says that you got to respond as soon as somebody spews venom out of their mouth. There's no rule. I'm telling you. If somebody told you that's the rule, that you got to respond immediately, I'm talking to me first. I'm quick to respond. I'm always ready with an answer. But I've made a decision that moving forward, I'm going to listen for understanding instead of listening to respond. That's a vow that I made to myself. I ain't swearing to God. I ain't swearing on my mama. I'm not swearing on my kids. I'm not swearing on none of that. My yes is going to be yes, and my no is going to be no. If you need all that other foolishness, you could do that. But according to the scriptures, the Bible tells us, let your yes be yes and your no be your no. If it's the truth, you ain't got to put all that on it. That's up to the recipient as to whether they believe you or not, and they need all that extra. Just say, I affirm, if you want to. But that's all you need, a yes or a no. Okay. Again, a soft and gentle and thoughtful answer turns away wrath. It literally disarms the person. They still could go on, but if you stand in there looking at them like they're an idiot, eventually they'll get tired. Harsh and painful and careless words do nothing but stir up anger. And you may feel justified at doing it, but I'm telling you, sis, bruh, I'm telling you, don't bite. Remain calm. You can even force a smile if you want to. Let those pearly whites shine. Let them see it. Now, an examination can also be or occur over time. It could be a little lengthy. Right. Let me use me as an example again. I prayed and believed, and God did what I asked him unexpectedly. Honestly, to tell you the truth, it kind of blew my mind the way that it happened. And so that's what threw me off. I expect, and this is my own fault. I expected it was going to come this way. That's how I imagined it in my mind. Nothing wrong with that. We can set expectations. The Bible encourages us to have expectations, because expectations are the breeding ground for miracles. However, when we are set in our ways about expectations and they're not flexible, in other words, if God is going to do it this way and this way only, that's where we get into trouble, because here it comes and you don't, the thing that you're believing God for, and you don't believe it because it didn't show up in the package that you thought it was going to show up in. It didn't show up when you thought it was going to show up. How many blessings have you missed because you didn't recognize? Ooh, all of a sudden. All right. So there I was. I kind of blew my mind, but it's here. It's real. I can see it. I can feel it. I can hear it. I don't just pray about it in the abstract anymore, because I prayed about it and thanked God for it for at least a year and a half, maybe two, before it was manifested. That was my faith in action. But when doubt arose, and it did, rather than entertaining it, I should have gone back to the word and the promises of God to rule out the false evidence appearing real. Discernment is critical for the believer. I know I said that, but I'm going to say it again. However, we must equip ourselves with the word so that the Holy Spirit can present the true evidence that is real, so we can stand on the truth. Cast down every imagination and punish disobedience. Write this down, 2 Corinthians 10 and 5, and I'm going to read it from the King James Version. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Let me read it one more time, but I'll read it in the NIV. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. We do that. And we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. So your obedience has to be complete. Your obedience has to be established. What do you mean, Tanya? That you are obedient to the voice of God when you hear him speak, that you're obedient to his word. And when you're obedient to his word, he's able to speak to you and you're able to hear him clearly, right? So being obedient to the word of God covers everything that I could possibly use as an example. Just being obedient to the word of God and the promises, and the instructions that he's given us in his word. By doing that, that enables us to punish disobedience. How do you punish disobedience? The best way you can punish disobedience is by denying it. Nope, I'm not doing that. Nope. And rolling your eyes and rolling your eyes, rolling that neck or bobbing that head and turning your back on that thing. I'm not doing that. Did you hide? No. No. All right. I think I'm going to stop there, because I have talked myself into into belief. I have talked myself into I've talked myself into believing what I said. I believe what I said this morning. My name is Tanya, not Tanya, and I approve this message. Before we transition into Love, Life, and Victory, first I want to acknowledge our host and greeter this morning, Rochelle, who did an amazing job, and Yolandra for leading us in prayer. For those that may be new to the call, we're going to transition into, I didn't do it at first because I wanted to start with the story. But at any rate, I want to transition into the Love, Life, and Victory portion of the call. And for those of you that are new, what that means is that we're going to open the call up for questions. If you have a question that's on this topic, we're going to open the call up, and let me tell you how we're going to do it first. Please put your phone back on mute. The way that we're going to do that, first we're going to do is we're going to greet people. Some people got on the call a little bit late, and they didn't get a chance to say good morning. That's very important to our culture here on Declare Victory. So if you didn't get a chance to say good morning and you would like to, we're going to open the call up to these three categories in this order. First, we'd like to open it up to any men that are on the call. It doesn't matter whether it's your first time or your 575th time. We're going to open the call up to our men. After our men say their greetings, we're going to open it up to anybody that's a brand new caller. This is your first time being on the call. We especially want to welcome you. We want you to feel at home here. And then the third category will be anybody that you've been calling for a while or just a couple of days or whatever the case may be, but you've never said good morning. We're going to open the call up. So we're going to go in that order, men first, then our any first-time visitors or guests, and a third, anybody that has been on the call, if you've never said good morning. Let's go in that order. Men, are you there? Would you like to say good morning? Good morning, good morning. No? Anybody, you don't have any men, would like to say good morning. I know some of them said good morning at the first part of the call, but that's okay. All right, we're going to open the call up next to any first.
Yo!
Oh, okay. Is that Eric?
Yo, yo. You know what's up, big sis.
Hey, Eric.
Good morning, family.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, brother. Good morning. Any first time callers? Eric, is that you? You gonna mute, bruh? Somebody need to mute. Okay. Any first time callers? Your very first time calling Declare Victory. I know you got an earful today. No, don't be shy. We just want to love on you. But if you're not ready, it's okay. Any first time speakers? You've been on the call. You've never spoken before. You've never said hello. Okay, it's a free-for-all. Anybody that would like to say good morning, I'd love to greet you.
Good morning. This is Swanita.
Good morning, Swanita.
Good morning. It's Jubilant.
Good morning, Juju.
Good morning, Mr. Tanya.
And Moxie.
Hey, Moxie. And I heard one other person.
Renee.
Hey, how are you this morning?
Blessed.
Good morning, Mother Goose. This is Kat.
Hey, Kat.
Good morning, it's Sunshine.
Good morning, Sunshine, and good morning, Mama Leoma. Y'all heard you.
Good morning, Sunshine.
I believe that was Dawson. Do me a favor, everybody. Do me a favor. Check your phone. Please mute your phone and put your headset good morning so that we can hear the thank you so much. Good morning, Darcy. Anybody else?
Good morning. It's Pamela.
Hey, Pamela. Good morning.
Good morning. It's Carla.
Good morning, Carla, is it? Good morning. I'm sorry. I could not hear clearly. I think you said Carla. If I have the name wrong, I apologize.
Good morning, it's Elsie.
Hey, Elsie.
Good morning, it's D2.
Hey, D2.
Good morning.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Anybody else before we transition into Love, Life, and Victory?
Good morning, it's Magnificent. Good morning, great morning, God morning.
Good morning, Magnificent.
Morning, Tan.
Hey, Shell.
You could have texted me and told me to put on my good pajamas for this year.
Oh, my God. Who knows? You know, I don't always know. I don't always know what's going to be said next. I'm just obedient and go with the flow because it's important that you get what God has for you. with all of the personalities on the phone, all of the people on the phone, I should say, it's impossible for me to know, or anybody that shares on Declare Victory or preaches a word from the pulpit or somebody you watch on YouTube, it's impossible to know what you need. Only the Holy Spirit can give us the word that matches what your need is, and we thank God for that. Anybody else, before we transition, want to say hello?
Okay,
so I want to... I'm sorry.
I only said that because of the good theatrical. I was right into it, and then you was crying. I was just like, wait.
Oh man. I quoted a scripture earlier in the declaration, and I talked about Satan, who is the god with a little g of this world. Who is he has the ability for those that are not believers to blind the eyes of those that are non-believers. And that scripture is found in 2 Corinthians 4:4. And it says, among them, the god of this world, Satan, has blinded the minds of the unbelieving to prevent them from seeing the illuminating light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. That's what he does. He blinds the eyes of people. And so that is something that we can use as believers, rather than looking down on or being accusatory to folks that are not believers. Just understand that they are blind. The enemy has blinded them. That's why they can't see the truth. That's why they can't hear. He stuffs their ears too. It's not in the scripture, but literally he puts them in a position where they can't even hear the truth. And so if they can't see or hear the truth, how do they change? And so it becomes our responsibility to pray for them and intercede for them. And you know, I want to say this too. It is important for us also not to take things so personally. And I'm talking to me first. Okay, let's segue into Love, Life, and Victory. I gave you guys a lot of information. I said suddenly a whole bunch of times. I talked about discernment until I was almost blue in the face. Discernment, 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 discernment. I need us to get it. I need me to get it too. Using discernment is critical for us. Anybody have any questions? Can anybody identify with Harry? Can anybody, does anybody have any comments? Does anybody need clarity about anything that was said about this? And I want you to understand, Harry is a fictitious character. Him, Sam, Samantha, and Black Tommy, they are fictitious characters that I made up. I don't know those people. I don't
girl,
know this story.
I was about to say, where he at?
If I knew where he was, I would hook you up.
Oh man. So, but anybody have any questions centered around the declaration?
Hey Chan, I just wanted to
go ahead. Sorry.
That's okay. Real quick, Dee. Just when you talked about the reading of the Bible, and I think you kind of said it this way, reading enables, E-N-A-B-L-E-S, us to learn biblically. But if we don't read it, then it doesn't enable. I think that's kind of what you said, but that was so good. I didn't catch all the notes because I was writing too much. But that was it, pretty much.
I don't know quite how I said it, but that was it. Yeah, we need to make deposits. Remember last time I talked about this, I was talking about deposits. You go to the bank trying to withdraw $1,000 and you got 99 cents. You can make that withdrawal. You can only withdraw your 99 cents. And listen, don't let the devil beat you up or self beat you up about your 99 cents. You can add to your account anytime you want to. You can add to it through reading the word. You can add to it by listening to the word. You can add to your account by studying the word. Listen, anytime you want to, 24/7, you have access to your account, and you don't got to log on to the internet, nothing. You don't do any of that. Pull your Bible out, open it up, and read some. Anybody else? Oh, no, Dee Dee was next. I'm sorry, Dee Dee.
Listen, Carl, so much that you said, but I heard you loud and clear because you were speaking to me. That discernment, if you really aren't tapped in, you need to be. That'll keep you from suddenly offending people. And I think you used a couple of analogies, like especially when you got beguiled because you made a decision based on what it looked like, appeared to be. And so for me, I hear people always say they're on an assignment, but assignment from who? Because if you're on an assignment from God, no, seriously, you're not going to be offending people. And you know what I mean? Because there's so much that we do with our mouth. And so we have to be slower to speak so we're not suddenly having to apologize for hurtful words. And like Rochelle said, if you really are studying the word of God and you know him for yourself, it's not as hard to know when to be quiet, when to say a thing, and when to think that you're using discernment and you're not. You're in the flesh. And I'm saying that because I'm learning how do I say this? You know how not to have an offensive ear, because sometimes people can't hear the truth because their ears are offended, always offensive, if that makes sense. So suddenly we have to know that we know. I hope that makes sense. I'm just so glad for your word this morning and that we all can get God. You know, I don't care how deep you are, how many scriptures you know, all of that. If you're not using discernment, so thank you, sis, and we won't have to be doing all the apologies that don't even matter because we didn't say it something we had no business saying because we weren't on assignment. Okay, I'm going back in the classroom. I gotta go.
Or doing something we had no business doing. Anybody else have a comment? Especially if you are one of our newer callers, I don't want you to feel intimidated by people who appear to know the word. We all human. We all learning together. I don't want you to feel intimidated. I don't want you to feel like, it might be a dumb question. Nah, just ask. And I will do my best to try to answer your question. Or even if you had a comment, you could relate to something that was said. I just want to make a special invitation to you because we are overcomers by the words of our testimony. It will be empowering for you, I promise. Anybody have anything else? Okay, well, guess what? I'm not going to beat a dead horse. Are all minds clear? Everybody clear
no,
about
Tanya.
The
term? No, everyone's not clear. This is persistent. Good morning, everybody. Great declaration, and it was for me as well, because discernment is one of those, understandings that you question, at least I'm going to talk for anybody else, you question yourself whether you have it or not, whether you know you need it, you know you want it, and you're attempting to have it at all times, but there's certain times when it's more dominant on your mind for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
So what you said this morning really put some things together. One thing is that you got to discern by the word of God. And if you don't know the word of God, that's a problem. So I think, you know, an understanding, and it's so necessary in today's world. It's always been necessary, but it's just even more so right now. But it's necessary for a believer because you don't need to be duped all the time. So for me, when you said God's word about holding up the word of God to someone's thoughts, personality, I don't know that scripture. I need to know that scripture for one thing, but I got it when you said it. I understood what you said because what you were saying is that God's word basically exposes a man's thoughts, his actions, and you're able to discern what they're going to be doing or what they're thinking about doing or where they are, whatever the situation is. Am I making sense?
Absolutely. I'm letting you give your own, deliver your own self. Absolutely. I'm letting you overcome with your own testimony. Absolutely.
Okay. That for me was, it was a revelation, and I said, okay, you know, I got to go. I always knew I had to go a little bit deeper, but this was motivating. This not that I guess I did need it. This was motivating. It was just really empowering and motivating because for me, I desire deeply to know the Word of God and operate in it wholeheartedly. But like you, and I love what you said, we can all get duped from the past, from the pulpit, to the one who's been in, who knows everything. You know, it's almost impossible. Only the Holy Spirit can help us where we are and process what we need. No one else can do that. That man on the pulpit can't do it. No one can do it. I love this. It was a really good declaration. I appreciate you this morning. Thank you.
Amen. And that is not to throw shade on anybody or be disrespectful to anybody that's in the pulpit or your church leaders. It is to let you know that we are human. We have not arrived. Nobody on planet Earth has arrived and is above making an error, making a mistake, or doing something purposely. Because sometimes, you know, we do things purposely. It wasn't no mistake. It wasn't no accident. We meant to do that thing. It was premeditated sin. Okay? So that's not to take anything away from your leadership, but deliver me from somebody who says or infers and try to make you believe that they're perfect and they've never sinned. They do not sin. Nope, I don't buy that at all. I don't, because we're human. We're just forgiven. We are sinners who are forgiven. But going back to, I'm glad you were able to see that the Holy Spirit revealed to you. One of the things that you said is about that I wanted to say or add to what you said, persistent, is that we have, as long as we read the Word of God, we have the ability to discern. It's a matter of a choice. We can stand there and look like a deer in a headlight and be overcome by what's going on, or we could take a minute. Ask the right question. What is this? Where is this coming from? And listen for an answer. You got to be positioned to do that. I don't mean you got to be on your knees. I don't mean a physical position. I don't mean that. I mean that you have to be in the right state of mind. Like, you got to catch it. And being duped doesn't mean that I was duped about a particular thing, but I shouldn't be duped about a particular thing over and over and over and over again. I'm not using discernment if that's happening. And if that is happening where I'm being duped over the same thing over and over and over, I need to really take a step back. I may need to fast and pray and ask God, what in the world is going on? Where is this coming from? What is the root? Lord, deliver me. Pray Psalms 51. Listen, all of that stuff. Anybody else have a thought? A question, need clarity, want to add to on this beautiful Thursday? Can y'all believe this?
I have a question. Did you say Psalms 51?
This is, so hold on one second. This is who? I'm sorry?
Darcy. Did you say Psalms 51? Like 5-1? Okay,
yeah. All right. Anybody else? I don't want to pull no teeth.
Well, Mother Goose, I just want to tell you, you said a whole lot to me when you said when you got 99 cents and try to pull out more than what you got. And then you can't, look, it hit me like a brick, right? And then you helped me out when you said, but you can deposit more in your account. So thank you so much, because I need to get into my word. You know, listen. I'm telling you, thank you so much. Thank you.
Listen, Kat, make a decision and just do it.
Yes, ma'am.
Just
like my sister
it.
Said, move around, Kat, move around. She get
move
on my
around.
Nerves, too.
Yeah,
she get on my nerves, too.
Sleep. With the covers over your face, like
be quiet.
Like
be quiet.
Okay, all right, I'm stuck. Anybody else?
I just want to piggyback onto that. What Kat said. Hey, good morning, everyone. That's what you mean when you say storing up for yourself treasures in heaven. When you add in more and depositing into your account, where it won't moth and it won't rust away.
Come on here.
They can't steal it when it's in your soul, it's in your heart. When it comes out, the rivers of living water, like when Dion was saying yesterday, that they might take the Bible away. Remember that movie, The Book of Eli? We thought he was reading something. It was in his heart and soul. They can't steal it when it's in there.
Listen, they can't trick you. You see lie when it's coming. The Bible is something else, y'all. Lie is a whole language. Do you know that there are people around you who speak lies? Did you know that? And the Holy Spirit and discernment will help you to interpret what they're saying. You can be bilingual too.
Wait. This is Sister Darcy. You mean like lying? Lie? The language lie?
Yeah, lie. Like he lied.
Good. Thank you.
Lie. It's a whole language.
That is so powerful. Listen. The Holy Spirit for a gift of interpretation right there. Oh, that's powerful.
Listen.
Tanya, I love to hear you talk.
Do you? I need some water. Can somebody run me some water? I'm okay. Miss B, I love you.
Okay, baby.
I just got tickled, though. I've read that scripture many times. I never read it as, because you know what? I usually focus on the 12th verse, Hebrews 4 and 12, as opposed to connecting 4, 12, and 13 together. It just makes so much more sense. Lie is a whole language. And when I tell you, sometimes it sounds so beautiful. I know I ain't the only one that it has sounded beautiful to. I know it. It sounds so beautiful. And people around you be like, what are you talking about? Can't you see this? No, it's lie. You can't even, you making that up. Okay, anybody else? Going once. But listen, I had a whole.
Hi, Sister Tanya. Good morning.
Hi. Who is this?
Hi, I'm driving. This is Mary. I was. Okay. I just wanted to comment on real quick on when you talked about fear, false evidence appearing real. Thank you so much for that. That hit home for me and a lot of people that I know. So thank you for sharing that. It helped to encourage me to be able to move forward and not. Believe the lies that are out there. So I just wanted to say thank you for that.
Awesome stuff, Mary. I'm so glad. Speaking of false evidence appearing real, you know, all evidence is not the truth, right? Evidence can be doctored. Evidence can be doctored. Have you ever seen a movie on TV and somebody is in court? So somebody photoshopped or added something. Listen, it's evidence. And it's
right.
False.
Amen.
Yeah.
You are up my alley right now, Tan, talking about legal stuff. The evidence has to be authenticated, and you need an expert.
Come on
authenticated
here.
Through the word of the God. Yes, his word.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit is the expert.
Absolutely. He's your expert witness. How about that? I love God.
Amen.
Who is that? Amen.
I love God, too. I love God. You don't love God? What's wrong with you? And no, it's just a song. Good morning, God morning, kingdom blessings. This is Sister Shantae. Thank God that he has brought me out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Listen here. When you know the whole truth and Nathan but the truth will make you free. Okay? Have a blessed day, y'all.
You too, sweetheart. It's okay, sis. When you stay ready, you don't have to get ready. You can do what you need to do and move around. I got you. Anybody else? I was going to tell you, I had pages and pages of stuff, and it seemed like it was going to take me forever to get through it. But wow, man, it's only 7:30 on March the 7th, 2024 at 7:30 a.m. It's March already, y'all. It's March.
before I get ready to hang up, I just want to know if y'all going to be suckers. I mean, sorry. Not suckers. That's not what I meant. You are not suckers. You're not, if you're going to be duped into believing false evidence that appears real. Don't do it no more. Tanya, don't do it no more. Stop it. Stop the madness. Don't do it no more. I'm the first one to say, stop the madness. Anybody else?
Some of us need a raw and uncut. We don't need to be suckers. Say, go on and say it, Tanya. It is what it is.
You know. It is what it was. I love y'all. I appreciate y'all hanging out with me this morning. If nobody has anything else, I'm not trying to rush you, but oh, okay.
Magnificent. This is my last thing. I just want to say I just love your, you guys always talk about the sound changing. I want to say that I noticed your sound change too. I want to say the joy that I hear from you, your new level of freedom is so wonderful and brings joy to my ears too. So thank you for sharing and living out loud and letting us be a witness.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. I didn't realize it, but God is so good. He's so kind. He's so faithful. I just want to encourage y'all today as we get ready to wind it up, because I don't want to beat a dead horse. I want to be able to give you some time back if you'd like it back, if there are no more comments. I just want to encourage you to really focus on what was said this morning about discernment and how we can weigh the suddenlies that sometimes are cumulative, understanding that as long as we really position ourselves to be victors when we, and more than conquerors, according to the Word of God, when we engage in and use discernment wisely. It's not a whole lot that can get past us. Not a whole lot that can get past us when we use discernment the way that it's supposed to be. You have it. If you've been reading the Bible at all, and if you read the Bible, especially if you read and study the Word of God consistently, you have discernment. You just have to use it. Very often, the Holy Spirit will also give us instructions. But if we're in a carnal state so often or too often, we will miss it. And right now, as we are beginning to move around differently, we don't want to miss the instructions of the Holy Spirit. We don't. All right? All minds clear? Sounds like it.
Hey, Tanya.
Okay.
I want to say something weird. We in this hotel room and Kyle snoring like a bear. I gotta get up here close to the window. Anyhow, I wanted to say this for me. You know, I was always the staff of speaking. Oh, I got it. Don't worry about it. I got it. And I'm so grateful that God has given me the sermon, because I have been in trouble so many times, and I got it. You know, not just sitting back, waiting, listen to God. You know, and just recently, I wanted to say, you know what, I got it, don't worry about it. And I sat back, I just was still, and God was like, I could just hear, no, you don't have it, stop it. Because I used to, didn't have it back in the day, but I would, you know, beg, borrow, and sometimes steal just to get it, to satisfy, you know, that in me to always, you know, have it. No, I don't have it. And so I end up doing what I could, because I still want to do something. And it was just a blessing. And I'm learning more and more. Just sit back and listen. Wait till the Holy Spirit speak to you and then move. But I'm so glad. I mean, years and years I did that. And it's such a blessing now just to be able to even being here in Utah. I got, no, you don't have it. You brought gumbo like they asked. Besides that, sit back, sit down. Just
that's
always
good.
Rushing to, you know, being a people pleaser is, that's the worst thing you could ever be.
Yeah.
Just do only what I can.
Yeah. That's true. So true. I can identify with that. People please And I can also, but the other thing, my other challenge, and this may help somebody, I've been always in a hurry. All in a hurry for no reason being in a hurry. No reason. I know we live in a fast-paced society, but being in a hurry also will cripple our ability to discern because we're in a hurry to respond. Yeah, but nope. I think that increases blood pressure. I don't have no medical facts, but I believe it because it increases. It can increase anxiety, and it can increase your adrenaline for no reason. We only should be using our adrenaline when we need it. You know, that whole fight, fright, or get terrorized and can't move state. Yeah, I don't need to be doing that at this age in the game. I need to save my adrenaline for when I really need it. So mine is slow down, process, and move according to what he says. Okay. It's 7:36. Are we good? One, two, three. All right, we good. Y'all have a great day. Don't forget to read and meditate on Hebrews 4:12-13. Please do that for yourself, not for me. And make some other deposits today, as often as you like. Wherever you are, it don't even matter. Wherever you are, while you're standing in line, waiting for to be next, waiting to be served, while you're in the car, put your audio Bible on and listen and make deposits like that. That's really simple. On your way to sleep, instead of turning the TV on and letting fall asleep to the TV, turn your audible Bible on and make deposits and go to sleep on the Word. Make those deposits. You can do it anytime you want to, as often as you like to. All right. I love y'all. I'm really gone now. Bye.
Blessed day.
Have a blessed day. Okay. Bye.
Have a blessed day. Be a blessing.
Have a blessed day, everybody.
An amazing day.